WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump welcomed American Mark Fogel to the White House the day he was freed by Russia. Fogel had been detained in Russia since 2021, he told reporters.
I feel like the luckiest man on earth right now. And I want you to know that I am not a hero in this at all.
He said President Trump and the diplomatic service are heroes. Terms of the deal for his release not known, but a Kremlin spokesman now says a Russian citizen in an American prison will be released. Elon Musk took questions from reporters for the first time since he joined the Trump administration and began efforts to cut the size of the federal government. He claimed his Department of Government efficiency has been fully transparent in response to questions about its work and potential conflicts of interest. Weather alerts in place from coast to coast. Snow has moved through the Northeast. The most immediate concerns, possible mud slides in burn-scarred areas of California with heavy rain expected. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Liam Neeson was supposed to be stepping back from action movies, but apparently the genre is too embedded in his DNA. The Irish actor just started filming The Mongoose, where he plays Fang Flanagan, a war hero being accused of crimes he supposedly did not commit. To add a little more macho to the fire is a character named Tanker, played by Ving Rhames. Michael Chiklis plays the bad guy and head of the Texas Highway Patrol who chases Neeson literally throughout the film. Don't give up on action movies, Liam. Very few people can do them at your age. Sticking with action heroes, actor Jason Statham has a new film in the works called Black Bear. That might be a working title. There's not a whole lot of information about the plot, but I'm guessing there's a chase and probably some unexpected gunfire. Now that's sarcasm. Statham plays a man who gets pulled into his violent past and probably messes a few people up. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Marquette gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles got a win at home, 68-58 over DePaul. Cam Jones, 19 points in the game, moved him to the number 3 all-time leading scorer in Marquette history. Stevie Mitchell was 17 for the Golden Eagles and 9 assists on what was the game plan for the first half.
We knew they were going to go zone because they did that last time, so we prepared a lot for that zone. And, you know, as the game went on, just sticking with what we were doing, I think in the first half we were driving it hard, but we were missing some shots. They have good players. They're contesting it. So I think we just were able to stick with what we were doing, even though the results necessarily weren't what we wanted in terms of finishing or making shots. And I just think that's just a testament to, you know, our trust in each other, our trust in, you know, our coaches, and, you know, our coaches trusting us.
Marquette is now off until next Tuesday when they host Seton Hall. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. And sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild returns discussing the gobs of money in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Also, the Wisconsin GOP wants state employees working in the office. Does that include legislators? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a few off and on flurries possible, especially around midday today. Our high right around 10 with wind northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight back down to 12 below zero tomorrow. Partly cloudy with a high of 7 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 23 below.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, legalities and illegalities of the first couple weeks of the Trump administration. Jim Santel will be here and Dan Schaefer in hour number two to recombobulate. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You begin your Wednesday with a winter storm advisory. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yep, 9 o'clock this morning is when the winter weather advisory goes into effect, and it is a pretty big geographic footprint. The advisory in effect from 9 a.m. till day today till 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. Marquette, Green Lake, Fond du Lac, Sauk, Columbia, Dodge, Iowa, Dane, Jefferson, Lafayette, Green, Rock, Walworth counties all included in this winter advisory. Daytime highs today expected to be around 12 above at best. Factor in a northeast wind about 5 to 10 miles an hour, and you're going to notice wind chills taking us down to zero. Talking about snow accumulations anywhere from 2 to 6 inches in that geographic footprint. Tonight, snow will probably taper off before 11 p.m. Overnight lows down to around zero. Thursday, sunshine on the way, but not real warm. 14 are expected high with wind chill value 0 to minus 10. Friday, more snow likely in the forecast, probably starting in the afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies on Friday, 26 degrees. We'll get the weather details with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. Also on the way, some reaction to the freezing of conservation funds. You know, a lot of Wisconsin farmers have invested in different conservation practices or investments as far as conservation models on their farm, expecting reimbursement. Well, that reimbursement has been paused. We're going to dive a little deeper on that. Ben Jarboe's along with us this morning. Well, the federal government may be clawing back some monies. The state government looking at investing more in agriculture. Governor Tony Evers made the announcement last week. We'll also hear from Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski on some of the plans he's got for the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So a lot to jam in a short period of time. Grab a cup of coffee, a glass of milk, and hang on.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a heads up seed treatment.
The Wisconsin legislature is back in session with many agricultural issues to deal with. Jordan Lamb is an attorney lobbyist with the Welch Group in Madison who spends a lot of time at the state capitol on behalf of agricultural group from Wisconsin. I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn, and we talked to Jordan at the recent Corn Soy Expo. And Jordan, do you expect much difference from the legislature and its actions this session since its makeup is not as Republican-dominated following our last election?
Actually, no. I think that agricultural issues are so universally appreciated and understood that we tend not to operate on that partisan divide. So I'm hopeful that will be the case again this session. You're right, we have still have divided government in Wisconsin with a Republican majority in the legislature and Governor Evers being in the Democratic Party, but they've worked together so well over the last couple of sessions on ag issues, and I'm hopeful that will continue in 2025 as well.
And you've been around that state capitol for the past few years as a lobbyist working for agricultural groups, not just one. You work for many in a Wisconsin Ag Coalition. What is that Ag Coalition? How many groups are involved in that, and how do they work, and how do they work together?
There are over 25 groups that meet informally on a monthly basis. We formed this over 20 years ago as we realized the legislature was becoming more disconnected from farmers. When I first started doing this job, we had farmers in the legislature. We're down to just a couple of them. So as a way to connect as a group, the lobby as an industry together, we start meeting on a monthly basis and trying to work on policy initiatives that affect across the industry. It's been very helpful. Not only do we work together, we also hear what other issues other commodity groups are facing. It is an informal group, but I think that we make good progress when we work together as an entire industry.
What are some of the topics, before we get to the things you're really talking to the legislature about in this session, which just recently started, what are some of the things the coalition will talk about that maybe not come up as a bill in the legislature this session?
Well, we are always monitoring research projects, what the future of the industry is looking at. Mostly we focus on legislation, though, so we are looking at state. The purpose of the group is to look at state and federal legislative issues. So other than the research side of things, and we do look at, you know, farm economies, economic impacts, export initiatives, but mostly we focus on legislative initiatives.
How much is it? It looks like, for the most part, usually the chair of both the Senate and the Assembly Agriculture Committees are farmers or have had a farm background, and so I applaud the members for putting those people in charge. How much of a difference does it make to have someone like that in charge of those committees to explain things, maybe forcefully, maybe once in a while, to some of the members that aren't from a farm background and maybe don't understand these issues?
We've had wonderful agriculture committee chairs over the years because of that. And not all of them have been, you know, directly farmers, but they take that position or ask to be in that leadership role because they have that strong connection to the farm industry in Wisconsin. In the Assembly, Representative Travis Tranel is the chair of the Ag Committee. He is a dairy farmer from Cuba City, strong family connection to agriculture, and he's invaluable in helping us share our message within his house in the legislature. In the Senate, Senator Pat Teston is the new Senate Agriculture Committee chair. While he's not a farmer himself, he has strong ties to farming in his district and historically, and he cares about our issues. So both of them are wonderful, and we appreciate their leadership in the legislature.
And Senator Teston from the Stevens Point area in central Wisconsin. Well, let's talk about the 500-pound gorilla in the room. That's always a budget. Where are we at as far as the budget coming forward, the next biennial budget, and agriculture? What is the Ag Coalition looking for and asking the legislature and the governor to look at?
We have already started thinking a lot about the budget. I would say, in my opinion, the number one issue for the Ag Coalition is continued funding for the Agricultural Road Improvement Program. Last session, we saw the governor and the legislature allocate $150 million to help us upgrade truly agricultural roads in Wisconsin. For the first time, that was the focus, and it was a resounding success. They just announced the funding for the second $100 million yesterday, and we would love to see that program continued funded again at another $150 million for the 25-27 biennial budget.
$150 million is a lot of money, but when you're talking about roads and bridges and how many roads we have, the roads that have to be signed and everything else, we could use a whole lot more. I mean, $150 million is a lot of money, but there's a limit to what that can do.
There is, and $150 million is less than half of the applications the state of Wisconsin received in this grant round. So Wisconsin received 299 applications from local governments, towns, counties, for agricultural road improvements totaling over $500 million, and they had $150 million to allocate. So the need is absolutely there. I do think that the quality of those applications was outstanding, and I would encourage, if the program is funded again, for towns and counties and municipalities that applied last time to apply again.
And I'll ask you to speculate. You say if, But we got $150 million the first time. We saw the improvements we've made in the rural areas. What would you say, 80-20, 90-10, that it'll get another $150 million, or won't you speculate that for me?
I will not speculate. But I'm very hopeful that the Ag Coalition and all of the groups working together can work with the legislature and get additional funds appropriated this session as well.
Some of the other things we were talking about at the state level, some biofuels incentive packages. What's that all about?
So we are working to encourage more fuel production from domestic feedstock. So corn, soybeans. We would love to see Wisconsin incentivize in two ways. Additional infrastructure investments so that retail locations are encouraged to have fueling equipment that's capable of dispensing biofuels products, and also incentives to produce biofuels in Wisconsin, whether that's sustainable aviation fuel, biodiesel, or ethanol. All of those domestic feedstocks are important. Those are farmers that are growing that, and that is fuel that can be produced right here in the state of Wisconsin.
And it's been a pretty good relationship. Wisconsin is one of the leaders in having the availability of some of these biofuels, alternative fuels at the service stations. I think what we've seen in Wisconsin, we're kind of a leader in the country.
We are doing well. Our surrounding states are also very committed to incentives for biofuels, and we can do more. We can increase infrastructure investment. We could increase production and retail tax credits as well. So we will be working on additional biofuels incentives in the legislature this session as well.
Have we got a dollar figure on that, what we'd like to get from the legislature?
No. Right now, we're just kind of developing what that would look like. I don't think it's a huge dollar figure, but I think it's a huge impact in terms of supporting state supply chain and domestic feedstock production.
Something active in this legislature, this session?
Yes.
All right, we'll see how that works out. And also conservation, of course. Farmer-led conservation watershed groups have been very successful. Are we going to continue to get support for that? Are we going to expand that? What do you feel, or what are we asking for?
We are, as an agriculture coalition, 100% asking for continued support for our farmer-led conservation programs. They have been an amazing success story for Wisconsin. I don't think it's a pilot anymore. So there are three programs of the Department of Agriculture that are important: the producer-led watershed grant program, the commercial nitrogen optimization grant program, and our cover crop insurance premium rebate program. All three of those encourage conservation from the farm up. They have all been oversubscribed. Great success for making change on farms across the landscape in Wisconsin, and we will be looking for continued funding for all three of those programs in this biennial budget bill.
And I know you only work with the state legislature, but as we look at what's going on around the country now with farm labor and things like that, are there some things that can be done at the state level to, I know the H-2A guest worker program is federal and hasn't been updated for years, but at the state level it's being talked about in the legislature at all, or being promoted and asked for by the Ag Coalition?
No, not yet. We really do leave those, for the most part, to federal issues. There's not a lot the states can do to get involved in that. What we can do is support our state food supply chain, support farmers and their workforce needs, and, you know, support your local communities. Support, you know, the production of domestic feedstocks for biofuels. Those are the kind of things that the state of Wisconsin can do.
And the legislature has been pretty active, too, supporting farmers markets and locally grown and promoting all that. That helps, too.
I think any connection to local communities with agriculture and how food is grown is helpful to the industry as a whole.
And the industry is going to continue to grow, hopefully with the help of the state legislature. Jordan, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Jordan Lamb. Again, Jordan with the Welch Group in Madison works directly on state issues with the state legislature. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. February 10th, the head of the Office of Government Ethics, a Senate-confirmed position, was fired by letter by President Donald Trump, likely illegally. In an even more questionable action the same day, the U.S. Department of Justice dropped federal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. As we reported last December, Mayor Adams was accused by the Biden DOJ of taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. January 17th, Adams traveled to meet with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And recently, Adams expressed a willingness to work with the administration on immigration, contrary to New York City's status as a sanctuary city. Now, DOJ has reversed course, citing a memo from Trump's AG restoring the integrity and credibility of the Department of Justice and Trump's executive order ending the weaponization of the federal government. Also on Monday, David Heitema, the director of the Office of Government Ethics, confirmed by the Senate in December for a 5-year term, was notified of his firing by Trump. The head of the Office of Special Counsel, Hampton Dellinger, fired by Trump February 7th, had his removal blocked by a federal judge on Monday. We've linked the DOJ's memo dropping charges against Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome 24 actor Glenn Morshauer. And joining the show all the way from Sweden, our favorite musical duo, 7,000 Apart. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Heading southeast and then turning back up to Ontario, Canada. And I expect it'll be in Canada already tomorrow morning. Now there's snow flying in western Missouri up into a good part of central Iowa, far northwest Illinois, the southern edge of Wisconsin. That brings us to talking of watches, warnings, and the like. And there are winter storm warnings in southwest Wisconsin, Grant County. You're the only one in the southwest. In the southeast, that winter storm warning that goes into effect today at noon runs until 3 a.m. tomorrow. That covers Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, Sheboygan, and Manitowoc County. A good deal of the rest of us in the southern, almost two-thirds of Wisconsin, from La Crosse right up into the Mauston area and up toward Appleton, Green Bay as well, under that winter weather advisory that kicks in about 9 this morning, runs till about 3 a.m. tomorrow. We expect snow will spread up into Wisconsin today. Fortunately enough, not with a major wind. We don't have a 40-mile-per-hour wind with it. That does help somewhat, but it will be a little on the breezy side, keeping it a bit chilly, but there will be snow through the day today and into the nighttime. The heaviest, I would expect, will be in that far southwest, and then the eastern edge, the southeastern edge of Wisconsin, and that's where upwards of 6, maybe 7 or 8 inches could be seen. The rest of us around the southern part of the state, 1 to 3 and 2 to 4, lighter to the northwest, a little heavier in the south, that 2 to 4, maybe a little additional late tonight. Snow all ends by late tonight or early tomorrow. In fact, a little sun returning. We dry it out a bit for Thursday. The next round of snow, it could be around later Friday. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
Did you know the definition of comfort foods is food that provides consolation or a feeling of well-being? I'll tell you what, they've got it from door to door at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous farm-made Pam Yonke inviting you to stop by Bavaria Sausage on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, online, BavariaSausage.com. If you're looking for comfort foods, look no further to Bavaria Sausage. With their old-world flavors and diverse products, you won't run out of recipe ideas, that's for sure. Take a look, of course, at all their authentic German recipes that are available there, and some of the special items that you won't find anywhere else. Bavaria Sausage also looking forward to the breaks in Wisconsin's winter weather, where you might even think about grilling out. That's their strong suit, making sure whenever the weather allows that you've got a Bavaria brat ready for the grill. BavariaSausage.com. Check it out today. All right, buddy, let's go with those details. Who's going to get hit the hardest?
Well, I think that's far southwest Wisconsin, northeast Iowa. That could be 6 to 8 inches. And the southeastern lakeshore area in Wisconsin, where it may be pushing up towards 6 or better. Everybody else, just a good winter snow, cloudy skies today, and snow will develop from the southwest pushing to the northeast. Temps today, maybe only just near double digits in the far northwest part of the state, upper teens and low 20s in the south. The northeast winds 5 to 15. More snow in the nighttime, ending late, and temps falling down to the single digits, below zero in the north with that wind out of the north, 5 to 15. Skies will become sunny, but we stay cool tomorrow. Upper single digits in the far north, low teens south with a west wind then. And Friday, Pam, more snow, and it starts showing up already late morning into the afternoon. Temps, though, up into the low 20s, mid-20s in the south, so a little more mild. But there will be snow cleanup. Count on it late today and certainly by tomorrow morning.
All right, rainfall reporters, your snow reporters now. Get those results as they come in. Your ag weather this morning brought to you courtesy of our friends from Compure Financial.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High-yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest-yield savings accounts at an online bank. Just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump welcomed American Mark Fogel to the White House the day he was freed by Russia. Fogel had been detained in Russia since 2021, he told reporters.
I feel like the luckiest man on earth right now. And I want you to know that I am not a hero in this at all.
He said President Trump and the diplomatic service are heroes. Terms of the deal for his release not known, but a Kremlin spokesman now says a Russian citizen in an American prison will be released. Elon Musk took questions from reporters for the first time since he joined the Trump administration and began efforts to cut the size of the federal government. He claimed his Department of Government efficiency has been fully transparent in response to questions about its work and potential conflicts of interest. Weather alerts in place from coast to coast. Snow has moved through the Northeast. The most immediate concerns, possible mudslides in burn-scarred areas of California with heavy rain expected. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a comedy to look forward to, starring a rock star duo of Bill Murray and Kristen Wiig. The two Saturday Night Live alums will headline the cast of Epiphany, which will be directed by Max Barbacow, who also directed Palm Springs. The plot sees Kristen Wiig as an heiress who has blown through her fortune and now has 2 weeks to marry a rich man or lose everything and end up homeless. She meets Murray's character, who is a math savant and billionaire. Really hoping there's no sex between the two leads in this film. As of February 14th, YouTube will be 20 years old. The social media platform, which started with people posting home movies and personal videos, has turned into a global phenomenon and a major studio that even makes feature films in 4K. According to Deadline, YouTube just reached another milestone. More people now use the TVs in their home when watching YouTube content than they do on their phones. Go figure. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Marquette gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles got a win at home, 68-58 over DePaul. Cam Jones, 19 points in the game, moved him to the number 3 all-time leading scorer in Marquette history. Stevie Mitchell was 17 for the Golden Eagles and 9 assists on what was the game plan for the first half.
We knew they were going to go zone because they did that last time, so we prepared a lot for that zone. And, you know, as the game went on, just sticking with what we were doing, I think in the first half we were driving it hard, but we were missing some shots. They have good players. They're contesting it. So I think we just were able to stick with what we were doing, even though the results necessarily weren't what we wanted in terms of finishing or making shots. And I just think that's a testament to, you know, our trust in each other, our trust in, you know, our coaches, and, you know, our coaches trusting us.
Marquette is now off until next Tuesday when they host Seton Hall. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time on Big Show as Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford joins Trigby Olson and I and in hour number 2, What's Worse? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy today with a few off and on flurries possible, especially around midday today. Our high right around 10 with wind northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight back down to 12 below zero tomorrow. Partly cloudy with a high of 7 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 20 below zero.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Interviews with the Athletic.
Well, the government is pushing pause on a lot of federal monies that Wisconsin farmers and agribusinesses were kind of counting on. That's one of the stories we've got for you on a Wednesday morning. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We'll get some quotes from some of our agribusinesses, and we'll also follow up. As the federal government pulls back monies, the state of Wisconsin stepping forward with more monies, some of that to be invested through the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection and programs they administer. We're going to give you some of those details. So today is the 12th day of February. On this date, back in 2002, Verona athlete Casey Fitzrandolph won a gold medal at the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympic Games. In fact, he broke the Olympic record in the 500 meters of that speed skating. So Wisconsin native Verona athlete Casey Fitzrandolph wearing the gold on this day back in 2002. On this day, 1909, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, founded in the United States, one of the oldest and most influential civil rights organizations in the United States, still around today. The NAACP founded on this day, 1909. Couple birthdays for you this morning. Happy birthday to actor Josh Brolin. He is 57 years young. And actor comedian Arsenio Hall. He turns 69. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES group.com. You know how to find that website. And I'll tell you what, even if you're not in the market, it is an interesting website. Fascinating to take a look at some of the information about their history, some of the staff portfolio bios that they've got. And of course, there's always listings galore that might surprise you. Catching up with Ashley Hewn from the Steffes Group, one of the exhibitors at the 2025 Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. And again, just the scope of business that the Steffes Group goes through sometimes just amazes me. I mean, we've been working together a couple years, Ashley, but the numbers just keep growing.
Yeah, you know, it's good to see everybody here at the show, and a lot of people asking, where's this market going to go this year? Yeah. That's probably the biggest question. And I would say, you know, we are in a down market for sure. We've seen some softening up here and there. If you're really wanting to wait for a deal, you probably got to wait till the end of this summer. But there's going to be a lot of auctions. Just looking at the stats already, you know, our catalog deadline was Monday. But still, we have 25 auctions to do in February yet. We have 56 already booked for March. And once that catalog comes out, I know there's going to be more because everybody kind of waits to the deadline, you know, and get it put together.
Well, and this is that sweet spot in the calendar year, too. We're not in the fields. We're still trying to put together maybe pieces of equipment, parcels of land, and like you said, doing a lot of talking with lenders. Your lenders are some of the key holders of those catalogs.
Yeah, truly. That gets sent out to all the lenders, trust attorneys, people of influence, you know, co-ops and whatnot, just so everybody can see, spread the word of helping our sellers out.
Well, and if you're somebody that's kind of thinking about a sale, maybe it's that once in a lifetime, but you'd like to have one of your financial advisors, your attorney advisors, share that catalog with them, because if they haven't previously been exposed, it might help them make better decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we work with a lot of farmers during their transition times, right? So whether you're talking about charitable remainder, unit trusts, or things like that, we're well-schooled in that. We know that an appraisal comes first. We know when and you can and can't sign a contract, and we can help guide you through that.
One of the conversations here at Corn Soy Expo has been about land values and trends. And like we said, some of the presentations are based on information they got from the Steffes Group. Are you getting any sense about land? Ashley, you work, because of Steffes reach, you're not only in the United States, you're in Canada as well.
Right. So we sold about 35,000 acres of farmland last year. I would say as far as interest, it was way up through the whole year, right to the end. It was very, very strong. The few we've tested here right at the beginning in January, you could make an argument and it softened up a little bit.
Okay. So this, and it's a changing dialogue. So don't think just because you were talking about it like this today, you could run into a whole passel of activity. The way the administration is, they could make an announcement that changes everything.
Yeah, right. It's more to come this year. It's going to be a fun year, that's for sure.
Advisors always, that's Ashley Hune from the Steffes Group. And remember, folks, we understand the auction is maybe a once-in-a-lifetime situation. You want to make every move you do count. Ashley Hune and the Steffes Group can help you out on that. Again, and they're supporting your local industry here at the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. Check them out online, steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S Group. Ashley Hune with the Steffes Group.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese was a quarter of a cent higher at 181 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese up a half, 190 and three quarters, while AA butter gained a nickel to 243 a pound. As we get started on a Wednesday morning, our March Class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently trading 4 cents lower at 1981. April closed 4 cents lower at 1943 a hundredweight. The December new crop corn's unchanged at 470 and a half. Right now, November new crop beans, they're down four at 10.52. July new crop wheat, that's up 4.5 currently at 6.06 a bushel, in part because the plains not getting the kind of snow we're looking at in Wisconsin. Well, we've been talking a bit about what's happening in Washington, D.C., pressing pause with some of our grant monies. Yesterday, Stephanie Hoff followed up with some of the farm organizations and commodity groups that depend on those grant monies for conservation programs that they coordinate. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, for example, has a very active Climate Smart project. They were supposed to receive $50 million in federal funding from the government that's been paused. A statement from Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative yesterday says that given the fact that this is a very fluid situation and the full situation still unknown, they were not making comment. That's from Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Organic Valley, another agribusiness that's very invested in helping their farmers with climate smart practices and conservation, they were targeted to receive climate smart $25 million grant monies. A statement from Organic Valley said, all we can say right now is that we have received notice about a temporary pause and review of the program, and it's our understanding that reimbursement claims will not be acted on until further notice. We are in a wait-and-see mode right now, but still committed to meaningful action with farmers who are looking to make improvements on the farm. That quote from Organic Valley. Now, while the federal government has pushed pause on those kinds of funds, the state of Wisconsin stepping forward to try to offer more money in the next biennial budget. I had a chance to catch up with Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski at the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. He breaks down some of the key target areas that the governor wants to enhance funding for, and we're talking about that next. Remember, you don't have to miss any of these details anytime. You can sign up for our daily e-newsletter, and we'll deliver it to you. Just go to MidwestFarmReport.com, give us your email address, and you're set. Or I'm happy to get you signed up right now. You can send me your email address through our talk text line right now, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276 if you'd like to be on our daily e-newsletter lineup. And as always, MidwestFarmReport.com also gives you our daily podcast updates, much more content than I have time for here. But we will take time next to visit with Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski about the governor's proposed investments in Wisconsin agriculture. Stand by.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that's me, but I won't be here. I'm off this week, so Greg Bach and Kristen Lyerly will be filling in Monday through Thursday, Todd Alba on Friday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Tomorrow morning, and we'll also be catching up with our friends from Everag on a Thursday. Looks like we are going to be talking with Jenny Wackershauser from Southwest Wisconsin. I'm sure she'll have some weather updates for us as well. So we're focused in this morning. We mentioned earlier about how the federal government has pushed pause on some critical funding mechanisms that Wisconsin farmers have counted on, specifically for conservation-related practices. But while the federal government is evaluating programs, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced that he intends to invest more than $80 million in his 2025-2027 executive budget that will go to agriculture, our processors, our agribusiness industry. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski has been collaborating with Governor Evers on this budget offer, not just in the past couple of weeks, but Romanski tells me at the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, they've been having ongoing conversations about these programs for a while.
The great news is it's been going on for a long time. Some of the things I talked about today, some of the things Governor Evers talked about yesterday when he rolled out some of these the ag package that's going to be in the budget, are programs that he's either put in place or he's expanded over the last 6 years. And I'll focus on a couple of them. So one of them is the Producer-Led Watershed Grant Program. The program's been in place for about 10 years. It's great. I mean, it's one of those, it's a classic example. You start off a program small, you let it grow, see if it works. So I tell you, this one works. It's wildly popular. It's doing really good things. Farmers are proving that what they can do in their backyard with their neighbors over here is different than what the farmers over there are doing. And the good news is it can work. And the end result is soil and water health, and the farmers are leading the way. So the governor's providing another $1 million on that. It's something that I expect we'll see some bipartisan support on. We have in the past. So some of it's we build on that. But the governor is focused on agriculture in a really specific way in making sure that we're talking about infrastructure, we're talking about conservation, we're talking about market development programs, and he's got a bunch of investments in this budget for that.
Yeah, well, and simple investments have already brought dividends. That ag road repair is ARIP, Ag Road Improvement Program. Holy man, I just saw the numbers on the second round of requests far outstripping money available. The governor recognizes that.
Absolutely, and that's a really good example because, you know, the transportation budget is even more complicated than the ag budget, and they've got programs that kind of touch around the edges on some of these things. I mean, the governor said from the first day, we're going to fix the darn roads, and there's already been some really good progress on that. The great thing about ARIP is it's targeted. It's targeted towards those areas of local roads where we know it benefits agriculture, and a little bit of investment can go a long way. The other thing that I like about this is it's bipartisan success. The legislature and the governor working together, it's the way it should be. It's the way it actually is more often than not.
Yeah, right. Now let's talk also about something that got started post-pandemic in a big way, and that's emphasis on farmer mental health. I want to kind of go back to when you first became our Ag Secretary, Randy, in 2021. Not many conversations about this subject, and surely not much money dedicated to it. That's changed.
It really has. And wellness, our mental wellness is important for anybody. Kids, adults, seniors. You know, no matter what job you're in, it's really important. But farmers and agriculture, it's a unique situation. It's really important that we have people on our team that are able to have those conversations, those critical and crucial conversations with farmers so that we can be a resource to them. So I credit Governor Evers for making this a priority from his first budget, and now in this budget he's giving us, where he's doubling the funding for the program because it's needed. What we're seeing is that there's an all-time high in the number of farmers that are accessing the program. And that means there's a lot of stress out there, but it also means that people know that that resource exists. We hope that we not only continue the program, but increase the program opportunities because we want farmers to know that we're there as a resource for them.
Now, we are in a changing time as far as international access to markets. That is not going to defer enthusiasm for the diversity of Wisconsin agriculture commodities and what's already been started a little bit with the Wisconsin Ag Export Council.
Yeah, absolutely. Wisconsin has a lot to offer. Diversity is our strength internationally. It's not just one or two products that are kind of at the whim of what happens in one market or another. Wisconsin products are all over. Now, they are because we produce so much, we have this great variety, and people know around the world that Wisconsin means quality. But here's the thing, that next step that's really helped is we've gotten some funding called Wisconsin Initiative on Ag Exports, another thing that the governor and the legislature have agreed on. So, and it's been in place for 4 years now, and we haven't got the numbers for the last year, but the 3 years that we do have numbers for are the three highest years of exports for food and ag products since we've been keeping track of it. So targeted investments, get those dollars out into the business's hands, and we can move products around the world.
There's another, what I call a little bit of a surprise, Randy, because we're not used to seeing new when it comes to areas that you oversee, but there's new money coming in for a new program. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a new program called Daring, and it's specifically investing in on-farm projects for the dairy industry. The great thing about this is it's getting dollars in the farmers' hands. So if they want to make improvements, whether it's technology, whether it's equipment, something to modernize on farm, this is going to give them a little bit of help to kind of make those investments, because we know things aren't cheap. And this is a way that the state can be a partner. The governor's been thinking about this for some time because he wants to get resources in the hands of farmers to let them know, hey, we're going to be your partner in modernizing and expanding your operation if that's what you want to do. And that, you know, with the way technology moves these days, it's important to help people keep pace.
Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski talking about the $80 million that Governor Tony Evers is proposing to invest in Wisconsin agriculture, agribusiness in his 2025-2027 executive budget. Like Randy said, a lot of these programs have already been proven to be successful for farmers. That includes our Ag Road Improvement Program, the Agriculture Enterprise Areas, and now the creation of a new pilot, Dairy Agriculture Resilience Investment Now Grant. That's Daring program as they're proposing it now, that would help farm operations literally upgrade their own infrastructure, milking equipment, milk processing equipment, etc. It's just a dream right now, though, folks, but let's keep an eye on it. Again, $80 million in his 2025-2027 executive budget, according to Governor Tony Evers.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
What it takes to stay in the farming and ranching game. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Something as simple as emptying a grain bin can lead to tragedy. Grain headed toward an auger is like quicksand, and farmers who've been pulled under have suffocated. If you absolutely have to be in the bin, make sure you're wearing a safety harness tethered to keep you above the surface. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Keeping the eye on the prize is not a passive exercise. Marty Matlock is a professor of ecological engineering at the University of Arkansas and was the featured guest in a recent episode of the Farm Food Facts podcast from U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action.
If you want to be farming in 5 years, and if you want your kids to be farming in 20 years, you got to pay attention to the challenges coming, because they're not the challenges your grandfathers faced. They're harder, in some ways more intractable, because they're related to global access to markets, related to global reputation of production, as well as, frankly, changing climate conditions.
Matlock advises commodity growers how to become resilient and sustainable in today's market climate. He says it really boils down to one of the simplest lessons in economics.
The value of our products and the input costs are the two things that determine whether you stay in business. Fundamental lemonade stand at the corner for the kids lessons. If it costs more to make the thing that you're selling, you're not in business very long. Figure out how to manage input costs, because the variability of input costs are going to increase. That's efficiency of use.
Learn more at the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Elon Musk joined President Trump in the Oval Office and, for the first time since joining his administration, took questions from reporters as he defended his Department of Government efficiency.
The people voted for major government reform, and that's what people are going to get. They're going to get what they voted for.
President said he always follows judges' orders when asked about judges who've temporarily blocked some of the initiatives. The president also welcomed Mark Fogel to the White House the day he was released after 3.5 years of detention in Russia. Terms of the deal for his release were not announced, but the Kremlin now says a Russian citizen's been freed in the U.S. and is expected to return to Russia in the coming days. Today, the first look at inflation for the year. The January inflation readout released as Fed Chair Jerome Powell testifies for a second day on Capitol Hill. Tens of millions impacted by three different storm systems, bringing snow to the Northeast. The biggest concern, heavy rains and possible mudslides in California. This is ABC News. The pilot of a small plane.